Thank you, Marsha, and thanks for asking me. As per usual, I have prepared absolutely nothing, so it was a toss-up between doing an hour on quantum physics or doing an hour on who I am, and how I got here and where I'm training from. So I'll start. My name's Elvis. I am an addict, and I am a very outspoken atheist, which does lead to some interesting conflicts sometimes. Bit of my background is I started drinking when I was 14, and the very first time I drank, I was not a pleasant experience, and one would have thought that would have stopped, but no, it sort of led to a fairly long career in drinking. I drank what most people drink in a lifetime in about 7 years, and I didn't think of it much of an issue until at the end of that seventh year, where I put myself into a state where I couldn't see. I drank myself blind, literally blind. And that sort of was the huge wake-up call that fuck, I'm doing something that's not good for me. So I stopped. And I did manage to stay stopped for about 3 months. Then sort of everything started working, and I've forgotten all that, so I started again. And I drank for another, I think, 4 or 5 years, and really started to notice detrimental health effects. So during those sort of drinking periods, I dabbled a little bit in other drugs. I dabbled a bit in, well, the big one was speed, because that enhanced my drinking. But then I discovered weed, marijuana. While I was drinking, I didn't really smoke that much of it, because anyone who has combined the two know it's not a pleasant experience. Tend to spend a lot of time on your knees hugging a toilet bowl, and that's sort of what it did for me. But after that second bout of drinking, when I really sort of started again, I had another bout of blindness. Well, that's it. I gave up alcohol. I decided I can't do it anymore. But being that I am an addict and do acknowledge that my preferred state of being at that stage was altered. Instead of deciding that we'll be normal and will not be normal, that's the wrong thing to say. Normal is a setting on the dishwasher. That's all that I think normal is. I remembered that I didn't mind smoking a bit of weed, so I started smoking. And when I started smoking, I was 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, down to this thing. I'd wake up now several times during the night and realize that I'm starting to become more coherent, so it's time to consume some more. And so it kept just smoke. I also dabbled in other things. I dabbled a lot in prescription drugs, then discovered that you can get codeine over the counter here, so that was a benefit, that was a bonus. So would go and routinely pharmacy shop, do 4 or 5 suburbs and clear and pick up quite a few pills in each pharmacy. See the look of disapproval on the pharmacist. They realise that time to move on to the next pharmacist. Also dabbled a lot in psychedelics. I did this for 38 years. Right? And during that 38 years, I did not see an issue with it. Did not consider myself an addict. I did not consider myself having a problem. I did not consider anything that I was harming anyone, least of all myself. But because of that, like, pretty much my life was sitting on the couch and consuming. And if I wasn't sitting on the couch, I was out rounding up stuff to come back to be able to sit on the couch and consume. It was only, what, 3 years ago, just under 3 years ago now, that my current partner went back to NA. Because she also is a member of the community, and she asked me, "Do I want to come?" And she asked me 3 times. The first 2 times, I looked at it and said, "You're fucking nuts. There's nothing wrong with me. I've got no problems. I don't know what you're talking about." But that third time, she asked, sort of, there's this little thing in the back of my head that clicked, and said, "Well, she cares about me, so she must be asking for a reason. So maybe there is something in it. Maybe I should go along and at least, you know, humour her and sort of have a look and see what the story is." So I went along. I went along to a regular, non-secular NA meeting. And the very first time I walked through the door, there was the 12 steps and the 12 traditions and the 12 concepts up on the wall. I remember sitting there sort of looking around at everyone else in there and thinking, none of these people are me. I'm not in the right place. I'm not out of control. Then they read that IP statement, which says we all end up the same way: jails, institutions, and death. Well, I've been in jail, but not for drugs. Never been in any institutions, and as far as I can tell, I'm not dead. So this is not really me. Then I looked at the and read the things on the wall, and that ugly three-letter word, well, ugly to me, three-letter word appears everywhere: God. And I'm thinking, what the hell has she brought me along to? Is this some sort of weird religious cult that she's trying to sort of get me into to make me stop using? And while my head sort of dwelling on all these sort of things, someone started to share, and that person has become a really good friend now. But this person starts to share, and as they're sharing, sort of I'm listening, and things sort of tick over in my head, and realize that, hey, hang on, this guy's telling my story. And so he shared for 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and that whole 15 minutes, fuck, how does he know what I've done? How does he know where I am? And at the end, he identified as being, what was it, 29 years clean. Well, fuck, it's not me. But obviously it is me as well. And sort of that night, I went home and I sat down and started to think about it. I started to sort of look back at what I did and started to look back at how I've run my life, and more to the point, how my life has been affected by my usage and how my personality has been affected by my usage. I did physics in university. I've got a degree in physics. But for 30 years, I couldn't fucking remember a thing of it. I did stand-up comedy. I did that for 7 years. And being up on stage, like for the first few years, was magnificent. Anyone who's been up on stage will know the feeling of having an audience in the palm of your hands. There is nothing like it. No drug you take, no booze you drink will come anywhere close to it. But of course, being up on stage, one of the things behind stage is to knock yourself out as much as possible with whatever you've got. But then again, as I was going further and further into usage, I started to notice that my mind wasn't as quick as it used to be. I don't remember the things that I've been taught. I don't remember how to do basic stuff from the degree I've got. So all these sort of things started to play through my mind suddenly it did dawn on me, and it was the classical light bulb going off over the top of your head moment when I suddenly realised that, fuck yes, I am an addict. Right? And what I defined as an addict, and what made me really think it, was that my life was controlled by the substance I was taking. My life I was not in control of my life. And down to the fact where I knew that, like, if I went somewhere, the only thing that would be going through my mind is can I use here? And if I can't, how can I get out of here quickly so I can go home and start using again? And that happened in everything I did. And the one thing that I hold the biggest regret about was being with my parents. Because speaking to them sort of since getting clean and speaking to them about it, they always thought it was them. And they thought there was something wrong with them, that they didn't like it. I had to acknowledge that, no, it's not you. And as much as I like to say, to say the disease is in control of you, it was me. I chose to do it. I did not make any effort whatsoever to stop that using. Sure, there was a lot of times when my wife and I, well, Ronnie and I, had huge arguments, and I would acknowledge that it's the drugs that are causing that, and I'd swear black and blue that I'm over. I'd break the bong. I'd throw away whatever pills I had. I'd put everything away. But without a doubt, like, at the most, 8 hours later, I was using again. The longest time I ever went would have been 8 hours. And I didn't see that as a problem. I didn't see it as upsetting anything. But then as I started to progress into the fellowship and started to sort of come along and started to actually try the, let's do this abstinence thing and see what happens. I did that for was 6 months before it really started to dawn on me that, that this can work. I remember in those first 6 months, like, and I'm sure everyone's had them, those huge using dreams that you get. And suddenly you wake up, think, fuck, have I used again? Start, and then there's that wonderful feeling of relief where you realize, no, it was just a dream. And for those first 6 months, I was utterly consumed with wanting to use again. I can't see any difference between now and when I was using. How is my life better? How is my life different? What's this doing for me? But then I had a dream that really sort of hit at home for me. Anyone who knows me or anyone who's seen me in person knows that on the back of my leg I have a tattoo that means a lot to me. And that tattoo is from the cover of Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, and it's a tattoo of Stedman's drawing of Dr. Gonzo, Raoul Duke from Fear and Loathing. It means a lot to me because that was the character I used to present to the world as me. I never, ever let people know who I was. I always presented that character to the world because that was an easy way to escape from being me. Hunter S. Thompson does have a wonderful saying that as time's gone on, I understand the meaning of it. And that is, he who makes a beast of himself takes away the pain of being a man. And I used to throw that around just as a casual throwaway comment. But now I realise that the underlying meaning to me of it, I used to use to take away from being me. I still am, to a lot of extent, that scared little 13-year-old boy that lives inside me. And that was always me. I never ever thought I was as cool enough to hang out with the cool kids. I never ever had enough confidence to actually sort of put myself in any situation as me. I always thought that no one would ever be interested in you know, a short, fat, chubby kid that was heavily into sci-fi, or that is heavily into sci-fi. That definitely hasn't changed. But as to go back to the dream that I suddenly had, that I had this one night that made everything sort of clear sense, I remember the dream in to this day vividly. I remember walking into this party, and there was all the drug-taking heroes from all the films there. You know, Cheech and Chong were there, the Broken Lizard crew all sitting around, all smoking joints, all doing whatsoever. And I remember going over to sit down on a couch and looking to my left, and there was Hunter S. Thompson. And he rolled the joint and handed it to me. And I looked at him and said, no, I'm not on that path anymore. And then he said to me, I admire that. You're on a different path now. I can respect that. And that for me was the turning moment. That for me was my head acknowledging that I can still appreciate all this stuff that's going around, but it's not for me anymore. Once that happened, I realised that NA has a lot to offer me that can help me sort of not only get clean, but become a different person. They say that it gives you it doesn't give you the life you had back. It gives you a different and for the want of a better term, better life. I started doing the steps, but then ran into the problem of that three-letter word. All the documentation, all the literature, all use that word, and they use it with the capital G, so capital G-O-D. And me being an academic, an intellectual, understands that word with a capital G has a distinct meaning, and I know what that meaning is, and that meaning is the... I'm going to say something now. I'm not saying this to offend people. This is what it believes. I was going to say that capital G-O-D means the invisible sky fairy that people ascribe things to. And that gave me great problems. I couldn't do that. I could not complete the steps doing that because that would be compromising who I am. I understand that the usage of drugs had taken a lot from me and had taken a lot out of me and was a great part of my personality. I mean, that presenting as Raoul Duke rather than as Elvis was how I got through so many years without having to worry about, you know, are people going to like me? Are people going to do anything like that? But the underlying core principle of me is I am I believe in scientific process. I believe in evidence-based facts. And to me, the whole I handed my will over to God just wasn't going to cut it for me, because I can't do that. So then we discovered there was an atheist meeting in the city, in Melbourne City. So I went. We went along. There was three of us that went along, and sat down there. And it was the first time I truly felt that I belonged in this community, in this fellowship. I met other people that thought the same. Not only did they think the same, but fuck, there was a lot of clean time in that room. There was only 10 people there, but there was 200, 300 years worth of clean time in that room. All atheists like me. And after having just gone through 6 months of when I share, I identify as an atheist, I make it quite clear that I'm an atheist. And that sort of brought a lot of stuff, crap flying my way. So many people would pull me out afterwards going, oh, you're never going to get clean if you don't believe in anything. You're never going to get clean because you don't believe this. This is not, you can't do it on your own. You can't do it without God and all this sort of stuff. And that did sort of play on my mind quite a lot. There was a lot of arguments with people about it. But suddenly coming along to this first atheist meeting and realizing that there's a group of people here that are doing it, that are exactly the same as me and are doing it exactly the same way as me. And I went back to Frankston for the next couple of meetings. We didn't get back into the city for a while. But then we decided to start, excuse me, our own atheist meeting on a Tuesday night down in Frankston, get a few people there. And it started to grow. This is before COVID hit. So it started to grow, and we're getting quite a few sort of people in there. And we're getting people that are newcomers that have never been to the program before, or people that have been to one meeting before and have seen the same as me, seen that G word on the wall and thought, this is not for me. I don't fit in here. And suddenly they've come in and starting to realize that, well, hang on, people are doing it without them. In my firm belief is that this program is a program of action, and a program of action means that you have to do the work. So the whole concept of some of the steps where it says, yeah, I decided to hand my will over I humbly asked God to remove my defects and all that stuff, I fully believe that's bullshit. And I fully believe that's an escape route. You're not taking responsibility for your own actions. You're trying to sort of take it away from you and say, well, this is not my doing, this is someone else, right? And that doesn't sit well with me. That doesn't sit right with me at all. I can't do that. I cannot. If I followed that, I'd be straight back using again, because I mean, that's, well, if it's not, if it's that will to do that, that's what I'll do. But I can't do that. I also find that it's insulting to people when they say that my desires were magically removed by this. No, you're not giving yourself credit for doing the work that you are doing. And that's sort of, this went on for a while, and then bing bang bong, COVID hit, and we all got to spend a lot more time at home than we used to. the old joke that went around is, how are you going to cope with being quarantined and all that sort of stuff? Hey, I trained for it for 38 years by sitting on the couch, never moving it and using. But the one thing that came out of COVID that was a blessing, that's probably a bad word, what that was a good thing for me, was started to find other groups of atheists around the world. And so I started being able to have, not only now was there just two meetings a week that I could go to, which is the Tuesday night and the Friday night, but now just about every day of the week, somewhere in the world, there's a group of people who think the same as me and who have the same issues as me. That is, we want to get clean and we want to change ourselves, are all suddenly meeting and getting together. I found that once I started coming to these things on a regular basis, I started to hear a different message. Like, when I went to the non-secular meetings, when I first started up, 70% of people's shares were people standing up saying, you know, Jesus suddenly waved his magic wand and I got clean. And no one actually told their underlying story of what's going on, or tried to spread the message of this is what we want to do. But suddenly, coming to the atheist meetings, none of that stuff was there, and the stories that I started to hear were more stories from the heart, and more stories about the struggle that people had been through to actually get to where they are now. Yes, NA or whatever you want to call it, this 12-step program has actually given me a better life. Definitely, I will 100% credit it for that. There's nothing, and I will credit the person who took me, who asked me to come along. Always be grateful. I mean, well, she's my wife, of course, I'm going to be grateful. But the fact that she cared enough to ask me to come along is a huge thing to me. But now that I'm coming along to these meetings, I've found a completely different way of approaching it. A friend of mine who's just turned his camera on now is giving me a word that I really, really love, and what really sums up what this is all about, and that's authenticity. In these meetings that I've found is, as I was saying, people share themselves and share their own struggles. They don't share. They tend not to just recite what they read in literature, to recite what they've heard from others. The others saying is, you tend to hear the truth, their actual truths. And the other thing that's really sort of attracted me and really kept me enthused and alive doing it is that secular meetings seem to be more joyful. Well, I don't know what the deal is, and whether that's just a personal observation, whether this is just something that I've seen. But I have been back to a couple of non-secular meetings. That's beautiful, Lenny. I have been back to a couple of non-secular meetings sort of since. And fuck, doom and gloom. Like, every single fucking share was doom and gloom. And I understand, I'm 100% agree with it. My life is not 100% perfect. Not every day is roses and sunshine. There are definitely days that are horrendous. That I would happily crawl back into bed and contemplate using again. But that's the urgent thing. Contemplate. Right? I don't have the urge to. I don't have the desire to. Every now and then I'll have that fleeting thought. This might go better with whatever I decide to take. But then I realise and it's not 10 minutes later. It's the instant next thought now is, you know where that leads. You start using again, you're straight back down that rabbit hole again, and you don't want to be down like that. In the almost 3 years that I've been clean, suddenly all this knowledge that I've thought I'd lost, it started to reappear. I find myself being able to do stuff like Fourier transforms, to do quantum mechanical calculations, to do astronomical calculations. I understand them all again now. I was taught that, but while I was using, it just disappeared. We've also found that my sense of humor and my speed, the speed that my brain works, has started to come back in huge waves as well. 5 years ago, when I was still heavily using, my wife said, "Look, you should go and get something checked out, because I think there's something not quite right or different about you. Different about you is the word." So I did. I went to the doctor and sort of explained what was going on. He gave me a set of tests, and I discovered that I'm on the spectrum. I'm diagnosed with Asperger's, which explains a fuck of a lot about me. It explains a lot of about why I would never sort of present myself to anyone. I would never present who I really am to anyone. I'd never let anyone in to actually know who I am. It was always easier sort of portraying that character, because then if they don't like that's the character they don't like. It's not me they don't like. Not knowing that I had Asperger's, I had no idea about sort of how social interactions worked. I had no idea about how a lot of stuff worked. I thought that was just me being shy, and so that's why I threw myself into stuff like stand-up. Did radio shows, I did TV shows. I used to work at big warehouse parties. Always wanted to be the center of attention, the idiot in the room. And by being the idiot in the room, it would be the one who'd consume the most, the one who would take the most, the one who would drink the most, and that sort of stuff. Not positive behavior, not by a long shot. But at that stage, it was. At that stage, for me, it was positive behavior. I thought this was good. I was getting attention. I didn't realize that until now that it's the wrong sort of attention. Well, for me, it's the wrong sort of attention. Again, like everything I say is always what's worked for me. I'm not here to give any advice on anything. Although if you want to study physics, I can send you in the right direction there. But since coming to here, A, armed with the knowledge of I do have Asperger's, but B, working not only the steps, which I'm still very procrastination. I'm a very, very much of a procrastinator about them. I would say I was the king of procrastination, but I keep putting it off. But I'm only up to step 8 now. Sort of again, because the whole GOD thing sort of puts it away. But working those first 7 sort of is like holding a mirror up to myself, and I do understand a lot of my behaviour, and I do understand a lot of what I'd like to work on, what I'd like to change. Like when I was using, I'd come home from work and the whole world was wrong. I'd be screaming left, right and centre, and I mean screaming, at my wife, saying how many dickheads I'd run into during the day, how many people were arseholes, how many people were this left, right and centre. And without a thought of well, that's not conducive to a healthy, happy home environment. I don't do that anymore. I found an inner peace that I never thought that I would need, or never thought that I would have. I now have the strength. I now have the skill of being able to reach out for help. I could never do that before. I never thought there was a thing to do. But I think the biggest change in me, and the one I'm really, really grateful for, is that now when I meet people, you actually meet me. You don't meet the image that I've created. You actually meet me. And I've learnt for years, the whole people pleasing thing, I've got to please people to make them all like me, and that sort of stuff. That was what drove me. And looking back on it, was what drove me, because I wanted you to like me, because I wanted to use whatever drugs you had. Then as soon as you'd run out, then I'd be on to the next person trying to get them to like me for the same reason. But it did always play on my mind as, what if this person doesn't like me? What is this happens? Whereas now I realise that that's not important. But the thing that I've really come to realise is that that's not my problem. If someone doesn't like me, that's not my problem, because not everyone's going to like everyone. That's sort of the nature of humans. Not everyone's going to like the same sort of things. I mean, I can sit down and I can talk for 3 hours on the intricacies of the different shags and different carpets in each of the different enterprises from Star Trek, and I will not recognize the your eyes rolling and back in the back of your head as you fall asleep. But I cannot speak for 30 seconds on any sport whatsoever. So the whole idea of sort of small talk is foreign to me. I've got no idea what it's about. But I know now that I can actually sit down and be like that, because there are people out there that are like that. There are people out there that not just me that do get into things just as much as that. In Australia, the majority of the population do absolutely worship sport. I could not be less interested, to be honest. The only sports person I know is Jockey Wilson, who's a darts player. So someone's laughed and knows who that is. And that's the only person I could tell you if you name one sport. I have gotten into countless arguments saying that as a race, we should not be idolising people who can kick a ball. We should not be idolizing people who drape clothes, well, some clothes over themselves and spray tan them and then exist only to spend money and make people jealous. I don't think we should be idolizing people who screech and caterwaul and call that music and suddenly move. I do think we should be idolizing people who use their minds. My three biggest heroes are Professor Brian Cox, Professor Alex Filipenko, and Michio Kaku. They're who got me into science. They're who got me into physics. Einstein. They're the people that I think we should be celebrating. And again, that not a lot of people agree with me on that. But I'm happy to say, I'm happy to be able to say it now. Whereas before, when I was using, I would never have said anything like that, purely for the fact that this is going to cause some controversy and people aren't going to like me about it, and then they're not going to give me their drugs. Whereas now, I mean, this is me. Right? Take it or leave it. If you like it, fantastic. We'll sit down. We'll have a conversation for hours. If you don't like it, that's no problem off me anymore. I'm still going to be here. I'm still going to be who I am, and I'm still going to be as opinionated as I am, and I'm still going to push my opinion. As I've told many people in NA, look, I don't care what you believe in. If you believe in whatever, that's fine. That's no problems at all. If you believe in Pastafarianism, if you believe in whatever, I haven't got a problem with it. But if you start pushing that belief down my throat, then that's when we're going to have a problem. And that's what it's taken me a while to learn, is that whereas we're taught humility here and to be humble, and like I've done a fair bit of service in the fellowship to sort of get to the position of being able to recognise and understand what humility is. I also work in customer service. Well, I work in IT support, but the majority of it is customer service, so I have to be able to put myself in people's positions to be able to understand where they're coming from. And that's another thing that's been helped immensely by this program. But I also understand that I'm just as important as everyone else. I'm not any more important than anyone. I'm not any less important than anyone. I am just as important as everyone else. So therefore, I can, if I'm feeling attacked, if I'm feeling sort of put down, I have a right to be able to stand up and speak for myself. And I'm comfortable enough to be able to do that now. I could never do it before. There's so much that I've learned in 3 years that firstly, I never knew that I needed. That's something that's sort of that's shown to me. You don't know what you're missing out until you actually discover what you're missing out on, and then you realize, oh fuck, this is right. Like the saying, I wanted to become a better person. We're here to be a better person, a better productive member of society. Well, for a start, I don't smoke joints during the day at work anymore. So my work output is incredibly better. I'm also much nicer around people, much kinder. People want to be around me now rather than being this grumpy old fart that fixes your computer in the background. And that's purely because of this program. And like the further I go, and the more I go particularly in the secular area, the more people that I meet and the more diverse people that I meet. One of the things I truly love about NA, about any 12-step program really, is the sheer diversity of the people in it. There's people that I know in NA that there's no way I would have ever met outside of NA. There's ranges, you're ranging from white collar to blue collar to professionals to like me, professional bums, all sorts of stuff. There's no way ever I would have thought of, hey, I'm going to have a chat to this person. But now, because I mean, we're all in for the basic same reason, that just gives us something to start talking about, and then I can start to find out more about people and find out just how much we do have in common. I'm sure there's a lot more I can rabbit on about, but my voice is starting to give out now. This is the drawbacks of 38 years of smoking bongs, is that my voice doesn't hold out anywhere near as long as it used to anymore. I will just finish on the note that NA has changed me, and it has changed me for the better. I do have regrets. There is some stuff I've done in my life that's fucking nasty if I had the opportunity, I would go back and change and definitely do it differently. But for the most part, what I've done before has brought me to where I am now. And for that, I embrace it. And what I mean by that is we are the sum of our parts, and the sum of my parts are all the stuff that I've done over my life, the bad and the good. Whereas I do regret, as I said before, I do regret some of the stuff I've done. There's definitely some stuff that is fucking ugly. And I'm not proud of in any stretch of the imagination. I've hurt some people that mean so much to me that I am lucky that they're still with me. But then on the other hand, I've also done some really good stuff. But all of it sort of rolled together has put me where I am today. And where I am today is on a path going forward and getting better in my own view as a person. And I also get to meet so many different people around the world in the same boat and hear some fantastic stories. So that's me, pretty much in a nutshell. I will thank Marcia very, very much for giving me the opportunity, the honour to be able to sort of share a bit about me. There is a lot more, but as I said, I'm about to be able to not be able to speak very much longer. So thank you for asking me. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being here.